Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by George McDonough, who is co-founder of KR1, which is a crypto investment company. How are you today, George?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Right. Crypto and blockchain and all those things, it's almost like a Marmite area. Some people love it. Some people either don't love it or don't understand it. We're trying to address all parties in this particular podcast, but can you explain at least what you do in terms of KR1?
Yeah, sure. So we're an early stage venture capitalist, I suppose. We're a listed investment company. We place capital into early stage businesses and projects building in the crypto ecosystem. The idea behind KR1 is to give investors access to the crypto economy via a publicly listed share. And we focus on the main ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum, as well as the DeFi world, which I'm sure we'll get into. And so that's our sort of core focus. And we started in early 2016, so we're one of the first institutional investors in the space, really. And so in that time, in that 4-year period, we've built up a strong portfolio of really interesting assets and a good track record.
Clearly, given the mainstream media and the way they behave, they haven't exactly given all things crypto and all things blockchain a good press. They tend to be sort of the world weary, let's put it that way. There was, I suppose, at the end of 2017, you had your dot-com bubble bursting equivalent as well. That will obviously put some people off. How has KR1 been able to avoid some of the accidents on the freeway in the time that you've been around?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, I think the thing to think about is that what we're seeing is a new technology going through various stages of adoption. And if you zoom out far enough, you can see that actually, you know, Bitcoin has been in a solid bull run from day one. Really, it has done nothing but move up in comparison to obviously where it was in 2008. It's been really an extraordinary thing to see. And what happens is it moves in waves, and you have these big blow off tops, pretty much once every 4 years, for the cycle traders out there. And also built into it is this halving. Which happens where the amount of Bitcoin that enters the market is halved every 4 years. So the system is designed to have this sort of ebb and flow. And so far, that's playing out exactly as expected. But a lot of what happened in 2017 was an aspect of the technology called tokens, which sort of came out of came out of Ethereum, which you could say is a sort of development of Bitcoin. It's a platform that has far more efficacy to it. And so, just like everything, there's a spectrum of projects, isn't there? There's a spectrum from, you know, super interesting, really technically able teams that are producing something of value, all the way through to chances who are just chucking something down on a PDF and hoping that the money rolls in, and it did get completely manic. What KR1 did was myself and my co-founders have been in the space, you know, back from its earliest days in 2011. We had a fairly good nose already about what was looking real and what was looking good and what wasn't. And so we worked very hard to create a portfolio that could withstand those, shall we say, frothy moments in the business. And so far that has played out very well for us.
But I mean, you're too modest to say it, maybe, or maybe you're not. Unlike many others in the space, you actually know what you're doing. It's been your thing, and you haven't just got on the bandwagon, which tends to happen with any growth area, that you just have people who, you know, a former car salesman gets into it and a tennis player gets into it. You have people who just, it's a sort of a, they're either a, they're bandwagon people or a Me Too people, and they just say, well, crypto is the next thing, or blockchain is the next thing, or DeFi at the moment is the next thing. And so the quality of people involved, the risk is basically a risk is basically a factor of the low quality of the people involved, or the people who don't know what they're doing, rather than anything else. I mean, is that a brutal way of saying it?
I think you're spot on. I mean, KL1 for me personally, you know, came along 6 years after having done nothing but blockchain. So I was already I was just running community meetups in London around blockchain from its earliest days, and the team that I managed to get around me at KR1 are, I guess, what you'd call crypto heads. That's where we've come from. That's what we do. And really, we were looking back, you know, we were very lucky to start when we did, because the ecosystem was tiny in comparison to where it is now, and it gave us the chance to, in those days, you know, all the funds would reach out to each other, and it's still the case now. And so there was only two or three other institutions in the world who were looking to do what we were doing, which was essentially buy digital assets as investments rather than equity. So that got us a seat at what then became a very large table with all the various funds that have come to market in those years, some of which, you know, lived and died very quickly with what happened in 2017. Having got our roots really quite, you know, firmly placed into the ecosystem in those early days has really served us well, because really what we do all comes down to our network and then to our ability to assess what we're seeing. But first and foremost, to get the real gold, the projects that are really understand the technology and really understand how to place it together in a way that's, and they're building for 2-3 years out in terms of what the technology is, where the technology is going to go. To get access to those projects really does rely on building a network of trust amongst people around the world who actually understand what this stuff does.
Right, so we've established that, you know, you've been around the block, it's your thing, you're a member of the community, you can take the highs and lows of all this because it is your space. The token area came and went, decentralized finance is now the new rock and roll, and hopefully you'll be exploiting that as well. Just wanted to focus now just on the sort of the more stock markety area. Interims came out about last week for your company. See that net assets there of 18 million. You've got a market cap of about 16, 17 million, which is very nice indeed. And you've made profits the last couple of years. It's been consistently a profitable situation. How are you going to progress this? How are you going to gear up, or do you need to gear up? What's your strategy in terms of, let's say, the P&L and investment?
Yeah, so to begin with, what we were aiming to do in the first few years was build a portfolio of solid projects that we could then communicate to the market and to shareholders as to what we've bought and why, and show that it's as much what you choose than what you don't choose, if you know what I mean, especially in crypto, because there's a lot of stuff to swerve out there. And I think we've been especially good at picking strong projects that have come through. And what's happened recently is we've seen a lot of these projects really blossom. Things like Nexus Mutual, which is a core DeFi insurance product, which we seed funded in 2017. And it was an interesting story, that one, because very, very few other funds were interested in the reasons that we were interested in it for, and we felt rather out in the cold with it to begin with, and we couldn't quite understand why everyone wasn't jumping on board. And gradually over time, it has actually now become probably one of the largest and most important projects in the DeFi space, and so that's given us a huge return recently, which has been fantastic to see. Similar with another project called Rocket Pool, which was a very early investment of ours that has now come through very, very strongly off the back of Ethereum 2.0. But I think the shining star in our portfolio has been Polkadot, and the reason for the our sense that in a way we were waiting for this project to come to market. It was our largest investment as a company. We put $1 million in back in 2017. And that, you know, that's come through at, depending on when you look at the price, around the 20x mark, right? And that's been a recent thing that's happened to the company. So that's point one. So some of our earliest investments have shone and come through really strongly, mostly, of course, Polkadot, which has sort of changed the view of the company entirely. In terms of now having that much on the balance sheet to spend to a degree, on top of that is the sort of the second side of the company, which is the revenue that we're making from those investments. So the other major investment we made was Cosmos, which came through. I think that was close to 60x our initial money. And these are platforms. Just to give a bit of background, these are platforms that are almost the next stage. So if you start with Bitcoin, you move to Ethereum, and then you move on. Well, what's on from there? Well, my opinion would be, well, it's Polkadot and it's Cosmos, which are called interchain protocols. And what they're trying to do is allow data from these siloed blockchains to move to other blockchains. And it's all part of the sort of the unraveling of this technology as we discover what it does. So first of all is, yes, get a portfolio that's doing well. And have some big winners, then have those big winners create revenue for us, which is what we're doing currently. We get revenue. We put an announcement out a month or so ago to show that we'd made $200,000 in a month from staking our Polkadot position, which when you extrapolate that out over the course of a year, plus you add in the money we're making from our Cosmos position already, the company is actually making quite significant sums on a monthly basis, which is another huge aspect for us. So in terms of the future and how we'd want to expand, I think currently we're in a process of just consolidating these wins that we've had. We're concentrating in very much on treasury management and trying to work out how to get the most from the assets that we have, so as to really drill down on the potential income we can get as a company. And then once we feel like we have a very firm grasp on what's our portfolio is capable of, then we will look to the future again and see how to expand from there.
Right. Finally, I just want to go back to we had a take one of this interview where I was trying to make a joke out of how old the average age of investors are on the stock market. That issue of the 40 plus, 50 plus people, the people are not millennials, is one where would you agree that there's a block there in terms of people understanding what you do? Most people that, if it's an oil field or a hole in the ground, which is a mine or whatever it is, they understand that, or they think they do. In fact, they don't understand that either, but that's a different matter. But if you talk about crypto mining and DeFi and everything else, their eyes glaze over, and it's an investor relations issue. You're also on the Aquis exchange as well, which doesn't have, let's say in theory, it's as liquid and you can raise as much money as on AIM or anywhere else, but the impression given again to investors, again, it's a double thing. KR1, difficult to understand, you need to be a rocket scientist, and it's on Aquis. Those two issues, cut the story short, how are you going to work on those over the near term, given that you've got the day job sorted out? All there is now is really a communications job.
Yeah, and entirely. It's a great question. It is becoming our sort of core focus, really, is to try and communicate the importance of this technology and the approach that we have as a company to investing in it. I think, generally speaking, that the main overview I'd give is the fact that we don't yet fully understand what programmable money will do to society. it from my side of the divide, as you were, from the legacy fiat world to the crypto world, it's a very heady experience being in here. Everything moves incredibly quickly. Atomic swapping happening behind the scenes on decentralized exchanges. Projects come to market incredibly quickly. So it's effectively like everything's public all of the time. And there's, you know, comparatively, you know, vast sums of money moving into this space very quickly. I mean, you know, if you take Polkadot, for example, in terms of income, it's a, you know, 12% a year that's coming in. And that you can't ignore that's a position that a lot of people, considering where the legacy finance world is at the moment, a lot of people will be interested in those kind of numbers. Now, yes, it's a bit of an onion, and you can scratch away at the layers forever, and sometimes people don't have the time or the energy to do that. But I think that because of the kinds of money we're seeing roll into the space, more and more people are beginning to look at it. There are so many interesting narratives in the space about Bitcoin being a store of value, Ethereum being unstoppable applications, and what does that mean? It's impossible here to sort of describe why it's so interesting in one go. All I would say is that if you start with Bitcoin and understand that you know this technology is effectively programmable money, it's global money, and that's the form that it's taken on. And when you look at how it's performed over the last 10 years, it's by far the best performing asset. And so you have to look at that. And I think those people who want to understand what's coming down the line, just scratch away at the surface of Bitcoin and begin to get a picture of it. To get back to my very first point about not really understanding what this technology will do is that as an investment company, it makes sense for us to invest in the very, very bleeding edge of this tech, because that's where we uncover what's coming next. And the size and scope of effectively placing trust in algorithms rather than human beings, the size and scope to change our world by doing that is hugely significant.
George McDonough, founder KR1, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.